Yud Gimel Elul, Friday the 31st of August, Reb Dudi Rosenberg, the infamous juxtaposition.
Reb Dayan Chaskel Avramsky in London used to give a Chimish Rashi Shia to his congregants, and amongst them there were Maskilim who were of shady views with regards to the Hashkufas. When he came into the Shia, they were well prepared for him, and they thought to themselves, some Pashas Ki Seitzei, this is it, now we're really going to get him. Ayafas Toya, a beautiful woman, a soldier, the Torah makes various hetairim for him. This is the way where we start to explore the how do they say, where there is a rabbinic will, there is a halachic way. And the rabbi will see eye to eye with us finally to understand where we can make changes to the various precepts of the Torah. And they were well prepared for him. In he walked, and as soon as he opened his shiur for the subject of Kiseitz, they said, Rabbi said, there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. The one which the Torah says very clearly and with a definitive sense, that you should know that the Torah understands the soldier in this particular instance cannot withstand the Yetzer Hara. The Yefas Torah and the soldier is the exception to the rule, and no other of the other 612 mitzvahs are certainly obligatory and they are certainly unchangeable. With that, he opened the shiur to explain that Yefas Torah is unique. We're going to try to explore this a little bit and ask a few questions. First of all, Rashi says, and brings down from the Tanchim, Im ein HaKudosh Baruch Hu matira yisu ene beise. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give, or the Torah is not going to give a heter and a license to the Yefas Torah, then he's just going to go ahead and marry her without a license. It's an amazing phenomenon. I can't exercise self-control, so I should eat pig. I like chaser. Chem mich nicht anhalten. So there you are. Yesu ena beitze. We have to understand this. We did explain it marginally with the insight of Rav Chaskel Avramsky that this is exception, but we'll go on. The second question, who are the candidates that we're speaking about here for the soldiers? Who are the soldiers that are the ones which are going to be potentially seduced here? Last week Sedra spoke about so who are the soldiers that we're speaking about? Somebody was Motchosh Geveim and elected by the Tams, that maybe between Tvil Shel Yad and Tvil Shel Rosh, he's maybe gestured or made some sort of as interrupted, he was mafsik. This is the type of level that we're speaking about of the soldiers. And there's a famous story which everybody remembers about the Bris Kerover, Reb Chaim Oizer with the Yiddish theater, that who were the soldiers that were actually left behind was Mechabed Gebeizen mit den ersten Schossen, mit Alle Shai Michet. And these are the people that we're speaking about, these soldiers who are potentially tzaddikim gemirim are the ones which are going to be seduced by a Yefas Torah. And for them, the Torah says, "Im ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matira yisuena be'isa." Thirdly, Rashi says and quotes Tanchim, "Lo dibur Toiro elo keneged yetzer hara." It seems to indicate that there's a quintessential lesson learned from this particular parsha, that it's a blueprint for all wars against the yetzer hara. Essentially, the Torah is speaking about the soldier at war, but here we are supposed to learn from this particular parsha on all other fronts with regards to our wars against the Yetzer Hara. What's the blueprint? What's the limit? And finally, the title, which has actually ignited quite some considerable interest, the infamous juxtaposition, which really refers to the Gemara's smiches, because Juxtaposition really means a smiches. And the smiches is, Lomu nismechu parsha saluli, why is the parsha of Ifastoya so close in proximity to the parsha of Ben Soire and Moire? Hakusim mevasecho, the Torah tells you, Psira, you should know, that if you do go ahead with this, and you actually finalize a marriage with this woman, kan groisse naches es nish hubben, seufel heulit mi mene ben seure e meure, at the end of the day, you can expect progeny like a ben seure e meure. And then, the last question is, why is this the punishment? Say, if he marries a wife like this, Davka wants to marry a shiksa, then the end of the day is, she'll die on him. Or another calamity. But what's the outcome that if he marries a Ifastoya, that he's going to have a Ben Soire Moira, as if there's something particular about this son, which is a relevant punishment for him having married this woman. So let's go on. The Gemara in Bruchas for the Daf Yomi learners will definitely remember it was fairly recent, tells the story of Rav Ada bar Hava. Rav Ada bar Hava, who was outraged by a princess-like red dress worn by a woman, and he went and slashed the dress while it was still being worn. He thought that the offending lady or woman was Jewish. Later he learned to his chagrin, which was actually cost him 400 zuz, that she wasn't Jewish after all. When he asked the woman her name, so she said, her name is Mosun. To which he quipped, Musen, Musen, Dalet Mayes Zizen Shavye. Musen, Musen, which Rashi offers two answers. Rashi explains, first of all, that Musen in Aramaic is close to the words Mo'osun, with an Aleph, which means 200. 2 times 200 equals 400. If I would have checked first, I would have saved myself 400 quid. The second one is that Musen means Messinus. Messinus means patience. Her name, Patience, she had to say her name, yes, some women have a name, Patience, so, inherently warned him not to be impetuous. Had he exercised restraint and deliberation, he would have saved himself money and he would have saved himself aggravation. The main point of the Gemara is to highlight Rav Ada bar Hava's zealotry, his purity, the shavkat which emanated from the inability to watch a woman, to see a woman with a dress which was shelo al pi Torah. But we understand here the nekida of the musen. He should have been a little bit more restrained. But there's a deeper message. The word musen in Gematria is 496, which is exactly the same as malchus. And the Sodo Avoida from Slonim interprets it like this, that when considering any avaira, the principal antidote is consideration, deliberation, thought, and restraint, recognizing the oil malchus shemaim, the malchus, who one might be sinning against, and this will be protected by musen musen, by the concept of restraint. Now, if we take this to Ifastoya, and we say, Lo dibru toiru elu keneged yetzahara, this then becomes the principal lesson of how to combat other seductive transgressions. Bring the woman into your domain. Remove the glitz and the glamour. See her in her true light. The disheveled hair. The long overgrown nails. The depressed demeanor. She now cuts a different picture. The avaira altogether cuts a different picture. The real picture. What's the real avaira in its ugly sense? The avaira without its trappings. Without the veneer. It's not so attractive after all. And that analogy applies to all avairas. The Malbim and the Kleyuka both pond on the pusik there. It says, And then afterwards, later on, the Pusik says, "Behoyu im loyuchu fatzdu bo." So they both ponder on this change of lushan. If the Torah starts off with the word v'chushaktu, then why does he afterwards go on to "Behoyu im loyuchu fatzdu bo"? Say "V'loyu im loyuchu shaktu bo." And then there again, the second question is why the change of tense? Instead of "V'hoyu im loyuchu fatzdu bo," ideally would have written "V'hoyu im loy." You will find that you don't desire her after all, you don't want her after all. And then lies the answer. Because choshaktu is a lushan cheshek. And that's like a fleeting lust, a desire. Chofatzdu is ibegelegt, somebody who thought, considered. So on the outset it was for choshaktu for. And that's why you wanted her. But then in the element of chufatztu, v'loi chufatztu, as far as taking it in a considered way, you'll find that it was in the past tense, loi chufatztu, but you never really wanted her as want in a considered way in the very first instance. There wasn't a rational decision there. Now, let us come back to what we mentioned in point 2, when we asked about the candidates for soldiers that might be potentially seduced were really the people who are Ayure v'rach alayvav. There's a Moiradik Eurachayim in Re'ei, speaks about the subject of Iyane Dachas. There the Torah says, V'nusan l'chu rachamim v'richamcho. People who are obligated to decimate an entire city, men, women, children, even livestock. That cultivates sadism within the man. Says the Orach Chaim that the Yishmaelim, the Arabs, relate that they develop an unbelievable bloodthirstiness through the act of constant murder. The characteristic of mercy has literally become obliterated within their soul. So, like taking note of this Or Chaim, the Rebbein Shlomo has to assure the Jewish soldier who is active in destroying an entire city, men, women, and children, to Torah, "V'nusan l'chu rachamim." Don't worry, the Rebbein Shlomo will reinstill in you that midah of mercy, v'richamcho, and he'll protect the refinement and the sensitivity within you, notwithstanding witnessing this carnage and the killing. And now this adds a different perspective to our pious and holy soldier. He may be perfect in his Yerushalayim, however great he is, he may have been tainted through the experience of battle. And hence the Nisoyon of the Yefas Toya could apply even to Tzadik. Which brings us to point 3. The Yefas Toya is indeed a blueprint as an antidote to the Yetzer Hara on all fronts. The soldier wants gratification instantly. That is the essence of Esav. Esav symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. Now, on the morning which we refer to, where the family was sitting shiva for Avraham Avinu, and in walks Esav. That morning, he was boil a naru ha-moirusu. That morning he had murdered Nimrod in cold blood, all in a day's work. What was the title that was given to Esau? Al kein kuru shmoi Edom, not for the murder, not for the assault. Halitai ninu min huudoim huudoim hazeh ki uye fenoichi. The bowl of lentil soup, I want it. I want it now. And this was the name which he carried with him, Edom. Al kein kuru shmo Edom. This epitomizes Esav, the instant gratification for that lentil soup. Halitaini, pour it down my throat. This man is Esav, Esav lushan osu. He is finished, he is made, he is complete. No bettering process required, no improvement, just the way he is. Born finished, teeth in place, finished, a complete man. Why do we address the Rush in the Aguda when we say Hakei Eshinov? Because his problem is that he asks questions like Muhu Avoidu Hazoyis Luchem. Hazak Kopf Kopfei, such a headache. Yiddishkeit is such a struggle, such an avoider, so much work. Let's have a finished product. Instant gratification. We turn him to reflect on his teeth, hake es shinov, that we call as teething pain, growth, completion. The baby is not born with his teeth. Animals are. Humans differ from animals. Which brings us to our soldier again. Musen, musen, slowly, slowly does it. Dalet meis zizeshavye. Torah says, take in this woman for yerach yumim. Let her be there for a period of time. Reflect, study, ponder the cunning ways of the Yetzer Hara. He beguiles and dazzles with apparitions, with mirages. But deliberation and time brings clarity. And our contemporary Yetzer Hara, which also preys on immediacy and impatience, is what they call the now syndrome in the internet, where 1 or 2 seconds is also too long to wait, because you can increase the RAM so that it works even faster, so the gratification is even more instant, and you press the button and it comes there just a little bit quicker. But the real happiness is through investment. Horavanya, no quick fix. Pusik says, ki lulei hismamonu, ki atu shavnu zepamoyim. In reference to Yehuda saying it to Yaakov. Lulei hismamonu, had we not delayed by going down to Yosef, we could have returned twice. So Svurim bring that Lule is the letters of Elul. And the month of Tshuva of Elul is to his mamonu, holding back, tarrying, deliberating. Ki Lule is mamonu, if in Elul we would have thought about the concept of his mamonu, of deliberating and tarrying, ki atu shavnu, our Tshuva would be on the now. We need to have the immediate gratification for the atu. Then it would have been, now we have to repent twice, not only for the Avaira, but also the second time for having required it for the Atu, for the immediate. Which brings us to our title. The infamous juxtaposition. We asked why the Bensoire is the punishment for marrying the Eishes Yifastoyah. Now, if the essence, as we've described it now, of the iniquity for falling for your fastoya is the need for prompt fulfillment, then the spiritual genes will be transmitted into the progeny. And consequently, the son who is born of this is also needs his quick fix. He has to have it now. Quantities of meat, gallons of wine. And if he doesn't get it quickly and consistently and regularly, he will ultimately resort to murder. And that's what akusiv mvasolchu. It's not a punishment. It's a genetic consequence. Rather than a punishment, the son inherits his father's impetuosity. And now we can perhaps understand a different facet to the Torah's Nidoin al Shem Soifoi. Because our knee-jerk and immediate reaction might be, since when do you stone and kill a 13-year-old boy because of a few ribsteaks and some Italian wine? But the Torah says, long-term, Musen, Musen, Nidan Hashem Soifoi. What's going to happen long term? What's going to happen in the end? The correction and the tikkun of the instant last is the long term view which the Torah says will save him from the grave Yetzer Hara of bloodshed and murder. And that's Tash, Nidan Hashem Soifoi. I got to watch this 9 o'clock deadline, otherwise I'm too going to be nidden al shem sofer. So, Let's summarize. And if there's time, we'll still develop the Nekidah of Venseret just a little bit further. First thing we mentioned was, the Rashi says, Imeinu Kodesh Baruch Hu Matira Yisraelu Be'Issa. So it was an amazing phenomenon. We said, perhaps the person should eat pig. Then Rav Chassid Abramsi said, and that the Kiddah, that the very fact that the Torah singles out this particular one is the insight that Yefas Torah is unique and insurmountable, and the exception, and it's not the rule, and therefore all other mitzvahs Shabbat Torah, the Torah says, are surmountable and are achievable, and this one is where the Torah is matter it, because it's an exception. The second one was, who are the candidates for the soldiers that are potentially seduced? We explained that through the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. And we said that the potential transition of a tzaddik and the frightening experiences of war can actually change his psyche and even his refined personality. The third, the kid that we said was, Lo Dibru Toru Elu Keneged Yetzirah, seems to indicate that there's a lesson from this parsha as a blueprint for all wars against the Yetzirah. And we explained the waiting period of the Yerach Yumim and observation of the Fast Toya in an objective light was the Musn message of the Yasoda Avoider, who provides a foundation and principle for all challenges. We explained the title, the infamous juxtaposition, refers to the Gemur Smichas of the Fast Toya and Ben Sori Moira, and why Akusiv of Socho, that Soifo Lahoilit Mimenu, Ben Soire Moire. Why is he spiritually punished with a wayward son? Is not necessarily a punishment, but it's a spiritually genetic consequence. A father who married for instant gratification, he can sire a child with the same impatient disposition. I've got a few minutes still, so I'll just go through one additional thought on Ben Soire Moire, which L'chayre is an amazing phenomenon. The Gemur says like this in Sanhedrin. The Gemur says that there are many, many specific laws which preclude the Ben Soire from ever becoming real. And therefore the Gemur says that L'hoi v'lo yeh, there'll never be such a thing. So why do we have it? D'roish v'kabuscha. Study it, and you'll reward. Now, if the Torah says Drosh v'kabuscha, then it's up to us to dashen to get those rewards and to understand, in fact, what are the amazing, enlightening things that one can learn from Ben Soire. So the Gemara says like that. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that by Ben Soire and Moira, Aineni shemaya bekolaini zoyle v'soyve. The Gemur dashens aineni shemaya bekolaini perat dechayashem. That if the father and mother are deaf, then the son cannot qualify to become a ben soyre imoyre. So the choyre, it's a muradike kasha here. The illusion of the Torah is like this. They say, benaini ze soyre imoyre, aineni shemaya bekolaini zoyle v'soyve. Those words are clearly defining the son. He is not listening to our voice. He's not hearkening to us. Why then does the Gemur Dashen Prat Lechayeshen that the parents are deaf? Lechoyro, speaking about the son who might be deaf. So they answer this drush again, drush v'kabuscha, to understand this Ben Soire better like this. And this is something I saw and witnessed, and therefore I can relate to it, perhaps. A father comes into shul, and he comes in on a Shabbos morning, he walks in by Kailuden. Puts on his talus with big fanfare, he's here, he's arrived, Baruch Hashem, before Krishna, he's made it. Sits down next to his neighbor, discusses the entire Financial Times and the share index, and after he's finished discussing who made what on property this week and who made the killing in business, he's finally realized that the chazan is already up to Mim Koimcho. But at this point, he sees that behind him is sitting his son, and he's got a friend next to him, and he's also talking. So he turns around to the son, and he says, gives him a thrust. And the son comes red and embarrassed, and then shrinks into his chair, and suffers the embarrassment publicly. The same father will come home, sees his son sitting watching television, gives him a thrust. Was this the Bamitsch's Zart? Geil, learn a person, do something useful, learn a few words. The father goes, sits himself comfortably into the chair, takes the thing, turns over to the other channel, and the son leaves the room with a red face, seeing Shem's father is comfortably ready, making himself ready to watch a film. What's wrong here? The son grows up to become a Ben Sayre Moira. Is he a Ben Sayre Moira? No way. There's nothing wrong with the son. The son was potentially a good boy. The father and mother are busy telling him messages that they say one thing, but they're deaf. They don't hear what they say. So the Perat Lechaimshin has nothing to do with the son. It's to do with the father. The father and the mother say one thing and do something else. That's the Derosh V'Kabel Scha that we get here, that we can see. A father and mother who, L'Cha'oyre, could have had a wonderful child. But if they grow up, the child grows up to hear one message from the father and that the father and mother do something else, and he grows up to become a Ben Sayre. But inherently, he's not that. Therefore, Prat L'Chaimshin is only if the son is deaf. The father and mother give a wonderful message. Then, in a case like this, if the son, nevertheless, notwithstanding that, grows up to be a Ben Sayre, then he's a genuine Ben Sayre. And there again, you've got the same thing where we say that they've got to have to be Doime Lekoimu, and they have to be Doime Bekoil. Does that mean that if the mother has a squeaky voice, that the father also has to have an identical squeaky high voice? If the father is 6'2", that the mother has to be 6'2" as well, they have to be the same in Koimu. And those things follow through. Koimu means that the aspirations, the height, the views, what you expect from this child are equal. But if the mother says that the child has to go to university, the father says he has to go to yeshiva, the child is not going to be a mensura. He's just going to be a product of mixed messages. If the father, for example, has got, what did we say, koila shuvo, and also that he... and koimo, and also koila. The koila means the koila shuvo, that he's got to be equal in the same sort of voice, means that the father says one thing and the mother doesn't say afterwards, don't worry about what daddy says. You listen to me. Then they're not doing a koil. When the Gemara says, the roish v'kabel scha means that there may not be something which is applicable in this generation or any generation of Ben Sayre, which is actually something tangible, where we've got a case of a Ben Sayre. But once you dash that subject, is v'kabel scha, the rewards are immense. And therefore there's a tremendous amount of things that one can learn out of the subject of Ben Sayre. Just to conclude, the Pusik says, Ayin Hashem Elokeichu Bo. My reishis hashuno va'ad aches shuno. Which the Choyra, if we understand that if reishis hashuno is speaking about Rosh Hashuna, then aches shuno is speaking about the Chodesh of Elul, which is the last month of the year. We've got a klal that midah tova meribah, that anything that is good is far, far in excess of midas perunias. So, notwithstanding, if we, and I'm almost speaking to myself, and I don't mean chas v'shalom in any way, anything that I said by anybody else, notwithstanding, if we had a poor performance during the course of the last 11 months, during the early months of the year, the Eibishter affords us the opportunity to change the appearance of that entire year. If we show him our genuine efforts at the end of the year, during that last month, which is the Aches Shuno, then we can use the same concept that we've just used of Nidoin Al Shem Soifoy. That maybe the Rebbein Shoyam will be done us also Al Shem Soifoy, so that during the last month of the year, we've actually put in the effort and shown him that with sincerity, we want to make this month change the whole appearance of the entire year, then the Eibshish help we should merit a ksiva v'chsima toiva, and to be blessed with elecha children who are shemaya b'koy laini, and more importantly, to be shemaya b'koy Hashem. Thank you.